By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another morning of Rise and Shine. SubhanAllah, my dear viewers, because time is passing very, very fast. But for each and every single moment of time which passes, we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should try to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say SubhanAllah, say SubhanAllah, say Alhamdulillah, say Allahu Akbar. Say La ilaha illallah. That individual who recites these, a tree shall be planted in Jannah for such individuals. So use this time, my dear viewers, to recite the tasbih, the tahmeed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tasbih refers to saying Subhanallah. Tahmeed, the ham, saying Alhamdulillah. Try to recite these words regularly. You are watching Rise and Shine. Each and every single day we have a daily reminder, a daily hadith sharif. Now, my dear viewers, we always begin by listening to the glorious Quran. Remember, Alhamdulillah, we are told that by reciting the Quran itself is a cure, my dear viewers. The Quran itself is shifa. It takes us to regularly recite it, regularly listen to the glorious Quran. And inshallah, this shall be extremely beneficial for us. Let's begin our day by listening to the Quran. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
للرجال نصیب مما ترک الوالدان والاقربون
مردوں کے لیے حصہ ہے اس میں سے جو چھوڑ گئے ماں باپ اور قرابت والے
وللنساء نصیب مما ترک الوالدان والاقربون من قل منه أو كثر نصيبا مفروضا
اور عورتوں کے لیے حصہ ہے اس میں سے جو چھوڑ گئے ماں باپ اور قرابت والے ترکہ تھوڑا ہو یا بہت حصہ ہے اندازہ باندھا ہوا
وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةَ أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينُ فَارْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا
پھر بانٹتے وقت اگر رشتہ دار اور یتیم اور مسکین آ جائیں تو اس میں سے انہیں بھی کچھ دو اور ان سے اچھی بات کہو
وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا
اور ڈرے وہ لوگ کہ اگر اپنے بعد ناتواں اولاد چھوڑتے تو ان کا کیسا انہیں خطرہ ہوتا تو چاہیے کہ اللہ سے ڈریں اور سیدھی بات کریں
صدق اللہ العظیم
صلو علی الحبیب صلو اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلو اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ عز و جل we began the program by speaking about تسبیح تحمید saying subhanallah saying alhamdulillah saying اللہ اکبر saying لا الہ الا اللہ just take a moment I want to read these words my dear viewers read these words inshallah azza wa jalla you shall gain so much blessings my dear viewers the topic for today is a topic which is extremely important, something which sadly we've left nowadays, an act of worship which is quite forgotten, you can say. Apart from for 1 month, the rest of the months we hardly consider this action, even we hardly even think about such an action, such a form of worship. And which is this, my dear viewers? This is one where by you being in such a state, your body is performing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, by you being in such a state, all the angels of the first heaven are praying for your forgiveness up until sunset. When you recite some cycles of prayer, that becomes nur for you. And this, my dear viewers of Madani channel, is fasting. When you are in the state of fasting, your body itself is performing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is such a worship which you can say is a forgotten form of worship. Something which we only perform 1 month of the year. And that's because it's obligatory, that's because it's necessary, and sadly some people do not even do that. But my dear viewers, inshallah azza wa jal, the topic for today, what we shall be hearing about is a little about fasting, some of the benefits of fasting, the spiritual benefits, inshallah ta'ala, the reward you shall gain by fasting, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear viewers, we have listened to the glorious Quran. Let's move on to the naat of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya حبيب الله واغا کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ بطحا تیرا نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا صدقہ تیرا سلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ کیا مہکتے ہیں مہکنے والے کیا مہکتے ہیں مہکنے والے بو پہ چلتے ہیں بھٹکنے والے بو پہ چل جگمگا اٹھے میری گور کی خاک جگمگا میری گور کی خاک تیرے قربان چمکنے والے تیرے قربان چمکنے والے تیرے قربان چمکنے والے کیا مہکتے ہیں مہکنے والے بو پہ چلتے ہیں بھٹکنے والے کیا مہکتے ہیں مہکنے والے مائے بے داغ کے صدقے جاؤں یوں دمکتے ہیں دمکنے والے یوں دمکتے ہیں دمکنے والے یوں دمکتے ہیں دمکنے والے کیا مہکتے ہیں مہکنے والے بو پہ چلتے ہیں بھٹکنے والے کیا مہکتے ہیں مہکنے والے گل تیبا کی سنا کرتے ہیں گل تیبا کی سنا کرتے ہیں نخل توبہ پہ چہکنے والے نخل توبہ پہ چہکنے والے نخل توبہ پہ چہکنے والے کیا مہکتے ہیں مہکنے والے بو پہ چلتے بھٹکنے والے کیا مہکتے ہیں مہکنے والے آسیوں تھام لو دامن ان کا آسیوں تھام لو دامن ان کا جھٹکنے والے وہ نہیں ہاتھ جھٹکنے والے وہ نہیں ہاتھ جھٹکنے والے بو پہ چلتے گئے بھٹکنے والے بو پہ چلتے بھٹکنے والے کیا مہکتے ہیں مہکنے والے کیا مہکتے ہیں مہکنے والے میں کہاں اور کہاں میں زاہد میں کہاں اور کہاں میں زاہد یوں بھی تو چکھتے ہیں چکھنے والے یوں بھی تو چکھتے ہیں چکھنے والے یوں بھی تو چکھتے ہیں چکھنے والے بو پہ چلتے ہیں بھٹکنے والے کیا مہکتے ہیں مہکنے والے کف دریائے کرم میں ہے رضا کف دریائے کرم میں ہے رضا کف دریائے کرم کف دریائے کرم میں رضا، پانچ فوارے چھلکنے والے، پانچ فوارے چھلکنے والے، پانچ فوارے چھلکنے والے، کیا مہکتے ہیں مہکنے والے، بو پہ چلتے ہیں بھٹکنے والے، کیا مہکتے ہیں مہکنے والے.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. Dear viewers of Madani channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Now, one method of strengthening your immune system, because this is what it's all about nowadays, isn't it? Strengthening the immune system. One method of strengthening the immune system, one method of gaining shifa, we mentioned the glorious Quran, but another, my dear viewers, is to fast. Fasting is of utmost importance. It entails so many benefits. Honestly, if you were just to read about the benefits, Allahu Akbar, really. Whether you look at the spiritual benefits or the bodily, the scientific benefits, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with such a form of worship. And this is something which is, it's not exclusive to Islam. Yes, previous prophets, previous religions also fasted, and we find that some of them even do fast to this day, but it is very rare. Nowadays, when you think of fasting, it's Muslims, Alhamdulillah. And this is something we should be thankful for, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with this form of worship. Fasting, my dear viewers, its benefits, beautiful, honestly, beautiful. A person who fasts. Now, there's one thing to remember before we do go into all of this, that there are two forms of worship. Fasting is such a type of worship which is different to everything else. It is different to everything else. There is the visible forms of worship. Even reciting the Kalima-i Shahada, this is something which generally you have to make people witness of. You know, for your testament, your acceptance of Islam, you have to make people a witness to this, that you witness and you bear witness that there is no God other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illallah, wa Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger and prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you pray your salah, this is something which can be seen. A person, when he prays his salah, whether he prays 2 rak'at or whether he prays 100 rak'at, no matter how much he prays, is something which can be seen. Sometimes you can hide and pray. The necessary prayers, you pray in front of everybody. But sometimes you can hide and pray. Even then, there would be those who are the closest to you, they would see it. Zakat. In order for you to give zakat, some people will openly give zakat in front of the people. Other people will give part of it openly. Others will give quite secretly. But when it comes to giving zakat, somebody has to know. The person you're giving it to, zakat is something which doesn't happen with only one person, no. It takes somebody to take ownership of it too. Somebody has to do the taking. When there's a giving, somebody must do the taking. So somebody will be able to see this. This person is given zakat, or he's given charity, whatever it may be. Hajj, something which is obligatory once in a person's lifetime. Now this is something which thousands of people, when you go there, millions of people you'll see, my dear viewers. So many people will see that you are performing Hajj. So all of these actions, they are such actions which are open to the public eye, you can say. People can see you performing these actions. But there is one, my dear viewers, there is one such action. If you are not to tell anybody about the action, if just by performing the action, nobody can know about it. This is that one action which is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Completely. As we mentioned, you can pray your salah in secret, which is brilliant. But the closest of people may know that, you know, you are praying salah, your household, if you were to pray in your house. Fasting is that form of worship which is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unless you tell, and this is with everything, then that could come into showing off, or you may simply tell because somebody may have offered you food. But fasting, my dear viewers, fasting is that one form of worship which is only between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout our entire life, we have been trying to show people that we pray our salah, that we give in charity. There are so many, you know, ostentation is something which destroys a person's actions. It destroys a person's deeds. But fasting is something which is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting is something which nobody would know unless you have told them. This is that secret form of worship between you and your Lord. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, fasting is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And some may be thinking that, why is it that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told people, remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an example for everybody. He teaches, whatever he performs and is said about a saint and shuyukh or teachers even, that even those actions which are voluntary, if there are such people who follow them, then they should do them in front of those people. Why? In order for those people to follow them. And you know, subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform many fasts throughout his entire life, especially during this blessed month of Sha'ban. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast excessively. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she would say that, Ya Rasulullah, I have not seen you fast so much in any other month. This is how much Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast. He would fast so much that people would think he would always fast. This is how much Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast. Amari viewers, fasting is that form of worship which, yes, is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we may be thinking, but that was during that time. That was in those days, people used to fast so much. But alhamdulillah, even in this day and age, we have a perfect example. And this is none other than the founder of Dawat Islam, Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, where most days, now I don't know exactly how many days, and many people won't know, but Amir Ahl Sunnah is such an individual that nearly every day, obviously, there are some days where you are prohibited from fasting, excluding those days. But nearly, you can say, possibly or close to every single day, as far as we are aware of, when you are to go to Karachi and you are to spend time, they always do iftar and sehri. They fast regularly, my dear viewers. This is something which we have lost, something which we do not do much. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, fasting is undoubtedly of utmost importance, and the benefit and one of the rewards given of fasting can be understood from a hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he states that for every good deed, a person is given the reward of tenfold, 10 times his reward is given, or even up until 700 times more reward for a single action you perform. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that so much reward is given for all of these actions which you perform. إِلَّا الصَّوْمُ, except for fasting. Honestly, just this one hadith sharif, if we were to only just leave it here and leave, this hadith sharif should suffice. Where it's mentioned that except for fasting, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, فَإِنَّهُ لِي, that fasting is for me. Fasting is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not something you perform in front of the people, no. This is something only you know of. Other people don't know of unless you tell them. فَإِنَّهُ لِي, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that fasting is for me, وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ, and I myself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, shall give the reward. And in Tafsir al-Na'imi it states, وَأَنَا, that this hadith sharif is actually وَأَنَا أُجْزَى بِهِ, that fasting is for me, and for that person who fasts, I am his reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is the reward for that person who fasts. Imagine this. Such an action where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that for other actions you'll be given this reward, you shall be given this reward, you shall be given that reward. But for fasting, I am the reward. For fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself shall give the reward. My dear viewers of Madani channel, let's first go to our daily reminder. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Dear Islamic brothers, distinction of reward for those who spend in the way of Allah in accordance with their capacity, it can be easily understood through this example. There are three people, but their financial conditions are different. One is very rich, the second is, you know, he's in the middle, and the third possesses only two wheat bread. Assuming that a beggar visits each of them respectively and begs for something to eat, and each of them give him two rotis, indeed everyone did a virtuous deed. However, there is a difference in their rewards in accordance to their financial status. For the one who has only two rotis, it is equivalent to a rich man giving him his entire wealth. Therefore, the rich may earn tenfolds of his generous action. A middle-class person may get 700 times the reward, and the one who possessed only the two rotis will earn countless and countless and countless of blessings and rewards. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Faruqi Adam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, mentioned that on the occasion of Ghazwa Tabuk, our beloved and blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam commanded us to give sadaqah in the way of Allah azza wa jal, and by chance I had a lot of money at the time. I thought that if I ever was to surpass the unmatchable generosity of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Umar Faruqi Azam is narrating this dear viewers of Madhi channel, then there could be no better day than this. Meaning Sayyidina Umar Faruqi Azam had in his mind, in his heart, a friendly competition, you can say, that I want to give more in the way of Allah and to please Allah and his Rasul, to please the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give at his blessed feet whatever wealth I have, as much as I can. And I had a lot of wealth at that time. So he thought to himself, this was the day that I could give more than Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq in terms of generosity to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu is mentioned that I took half of my possession and I presented it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has asked that, what have you left for your family? I replied, Sayyidina Umar Faruqi Azam, meaning equivalent to it, meaning half of my possession is presented in your blessed courtyard, Rasulullah, and the remaining half I have left for my family. After this, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he arrived with his possession. The greatest and the holiest Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, he asked the same question, meaning, O Abu Bakr, what have you left for your family? Listen to the reply, dear viewers of Madi channel. He, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he replied, I have left Allah and His Rasul sallallahu ta'ala wasallam for my family. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Faruqi Adam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said, after this incident took place, I was totally convinced that by Allah Azza wa Jal, I can never excel him, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in anything. Dear viewers of Madi channel and respected elders, this vaqiyah is mentioned in Sunan al-Tirmizi, volume 5, page 380, hadith number 3695. There are so many blessings in this beautiful narration and so many Madani pearls and Madani blessings that we can take from this. The main one is, how much love do we have for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah Azza wa Jal, who have given us everything? What are we willing to give back? And the thing that we love the most in this day and age, sadly, is wealth. It's not pleasing Allah and His Rasul. But we can make a start. Give that thing which we desire the most and start giving it in the way of Allah and His Rasul. It might not be wealth, it might not be money, but whatever it is, it might be your children. Give them in the way of Allah and His Rasul. Make them a scholar. If it's your wealth, give money to Dawat Islami, who are producing scholars day in and day out, alhamdulillah. Give money to Dawat Islami, who are creating khufas around the world.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah wa azzurullah was our daily reminder. Today's topic is fasting. Yes, my dear viewers, some people may be thinking it's not Ramadan, why are you speaking about fasting? My dear viewers, fasting is something which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform regularly. Mondays and Thursdays, or along with Fridays possibly. And sometimes Fridays along with Saturdays, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast many more days, but Mondays was something he would always fast. He was asked why, and he mentioned because he was born on that day as a means of celebrating his own blessed birthday, my dear viewers. Alhamdulillah, we do have a special guest. This is none other than our respected Dr. Khurram Sahib from London. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, Dr. Khurram Sahib, jazakallahu khairah for joining us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless the entire family, and especially during this time, keep you safe as well as the rest of the viewers. Now, subhanAllah, there's so much to speak about. This is our topic, fasting, many benefits of fasting. And then, you know, Dr. Sahib, nowadays, I don't know about yourself, but it seems very, very difficult for us to have any conversation without speaking about the recent pandemic.
Absolutely. So as you said, so I've been advised that all my face-to-face consultations have been switched to video or telephone consultations. And they're also suggesting that we need to minimize the contact as much as possible.
Hello, my dear viewers of the channel, sadly there's been this quite a technical problem there with our Dr. Sahib. We will, inshallah, wait for him to return from us, to us. Subhanallah, inshallah, I do look forward to hearing from him very soon again. My dear viewers, we were talking about fasting. Now, remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would regularly perform. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would regularly fast. He said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast every Monday. And this was due to or out of the celebration of his own birthday. Now, there are other prophets who also fasted. Other prophets also fasted. For example, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was known to have fasted on the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th of every single month. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was known to fast every single day. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, it has been stated that he had never missed a single fast. Not only did Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam fast every single day, but Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam has been known to have never missed a single fast. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam would fast a day and miss a day, and Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam would fast on the first three, the middle three, and the last 3 days of the month. Now, what is the importance of this, my dear viewers? The importance is that some forms of worship were exclusive to Islam, and forms of worship such as this fasting is something which even the, not only the Banu Israel themselves, but even the prophets. Now, yes, some prophets are from Banu Israel, such as Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But even the rest of the prophets, from Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam above, all those before, even other prophets would fast, and they would regularly fast. This shows us the importance of fasting. Now, if our Dr. Sahib has returned, has joined us again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah again. We were speaking, mashallah, you did say as to how many other doctors from other departments are coming towards the front line, are dealing with this pandemic or tsunami, as you put it. What is it that you are doing?
So I'm actually at the front end. And so over the last 2 weeks, I've seen several patients with COVID-19. And with lots of obviously other conditions as well, but that is the main problem we're dealing with at the moment. And it seems, you know, pretty much the reality when you're at the front end, seeing all these patients coming in. Just to give you an idea, that previously less than 10% of my sort of internal take would be related to acute medicine. And generally, it would be other problems like sort of heart-related or stroke-related problems. And now, the predominant issue we are dealing with is COVID-19. So nearly 80% of our patients who are coming in are all related to COVID-related complications.
You mentioned coming in. It's as if they're coming in to see you. Are you actually having any sort of interaction with patients?
So I'm the one who would see those patients in emergency department. So basically, when they present to emergency department with the common symptoms of fever, cough, and especially breathlessness, that's when we get obviously most concerned about patients. And that tends to happen around the 8th to 10th day of their symptoms. So it usually starts with fever and cough, and when they get breathless, that's when they come to hospital. And at that time, we will then evaluate, and depending on their oxygen levels, their chest x-rays, and we would admit. So this, the gear in which I guess you're seeing me, I look very different when I'm in hospital, with all the personal protective equipment and...
No, mashallah, yeah. You look very clean and protected. And this is what the PPE is, isn't it, mashallah? White hats, you've just not covered your face, because the viewers of Madani channel do wish to see, mashallah, your beautiful face. But white clothing, white hats, what else is there other than covering the nose and mouth?
I think for us, the main issue is around the... when we go and see the patients, and obviously when they're coughing, what we need to make sure is that we protect our eyes, our head, hair, everything which could come in close contact. But just in case, if there are any particles which fly from the sneeze or cough. And then obviously, because the department is so busy that we have to move very quickly between patients, so we need to make sure that we don't pass any of those sort of particles from one patient to another. So we have got hats and shoe covers and big aprons covering our, so basically covering as much as possible, so that to try and avoid transmitting infection. So
would you be wearing goggles?
We're wearing either goggles or big visors, which sort of cover right from the forehead all the way down to our mouth, just to give sort of almost a double protection.
Right, and does this change with each patient you see? Or is this after an hour or two?
So that we have to change between patients. It depends if there are all confirmed patients, then we tend to cohort them. So if they're cohorted in one ward, then we would change not everything, but we would change the gloves, for example, and the aprons. So there are quite strict guidelines in terms of if you have a suspected person versus someone who has a confirmed infection. And then, we'll use different guidelines based on what's the complexity of that individual patient.
Right, this is something I was wondering, Dr. Saab, mashallah, I feel fortunate that there's somebody who's directly dealing with them and mashallah taking advice from them. Sadly, some people, this is some rumors which have been spreading about a beard, and if a person has a beard is not able to apply protection. Could you please just enlighten us?
So that's true, actually. So that is the advice around these FFP3 or the N95 masks. So this is the grading system which is used. So the basic gloves we call are surgical. So the basic masks are surgical masks, which most people would have seen. So they just they cover the nose and then the mouth as well. But then when we are worried about a particle which is very tiny, so for example, these viral particles, they are in size and microns. So there's those so small that they can penetrate through, potentially, through the surgical mask. So that's where there have been discussion that when it is a confirmed case of someone who has COVID-19, and you perhaps are doing a procedure which can expose you directly to the breath particles, that's when we should be wearing FFP3. Now, with FFP3, the main concern is that it should be a tight seal around the nose and the mouth. So no air should be able to go in. And generally, some of them have a unilateral valve. So it only allows to have air one way, but not the other. So with the beard, then it is difficult to have that. So there have been a lot of discussions, but actually there are alternatives. So there are these respirators which can be used. But as you know, people would have read, the main issue is that because it has caught people by surprise, there is deficiency of this equipment. So that's why there is a lot of rationing happening as well to try and use it appropriately. So in that scenario, what I've been doing so far is that we would cover the beard, the face with surgical mask, and avoid what we call aerosol generating procedure. So that seems to work quite well.
Subhanallah, I've got many questions, to be honest, but just one thing I was wondering is, you said a lot of patients are coming in. Are we not recommending them, those who do have any symptoms, to self-isolate?
So the current guidance is that everybody who has symptoms, particularly with fever, cough, and lately we have noticed that people who have sudden loss of sense of smell or taste, and about 4% of people may get diarrhea. So any of those symptoms, then they must stay at home. If they live by themselves, then for 7 days, and if they live with family, then 14 days. To allow for the time in case if any of the family member is affected too. However, if it reaches a point where they become breathless to an extent that they can't manage at home, that's when they must come to hospital. So we have some admission criteria. So if someone's oxygen levels while breathing room air is less than 94% and they have abnormal chest X-rays, that's when there will be an indication to admit. Because this is where we worry that it could deteriorate to require critical care input. Now, that percentage is very small. We know that nearly 85% of patients are recovering without any problems. And it is 10 to 15% where we may need to consider these sort of measures of admitting them or taking them to critical care. So the message I want to give is that if you have severe breathing difficulty, do come to hospital. And at the point of entry to hospital, it's streaming, we call it, so, and triage. We would measure the oxygen levels. And if they're okay, then they might be advised to return home. Otherwise, we'll admit.
Right, subhanAllah. Doctor Saab, one last question, inshallah, in regards to this, before we move to our topic and then conclude our program. Final question, that there is a lot of worry, but how you put it, mashallah, it was brilliant, that the vast majority of people do not need to worry. Is this true? Do not worry?
Absolutely. I think at the moment, the main issue we have is panic and anxiety. So there is so much panic, which seems to be, and I think social media is fueling that massively. So because the resources are so unreliable, I mean, I'm getting these WhatsApp messages from all around the world, ridiculous. Everybody seeming to be an expert and, you know, advising people of all sorts of things. So the most important thing is to seek advice only from recognized websites, for example, NHS, and do not panic. So I've got personal friends, alhamdulillah, I've been okay so far, but my personal friends have been working with me at frontline. Their views were that they were confirmed to have infection, and within 2 days, all the symptoms had disappeared. And they said that actually, if we hadn't had a test, we wouldn't have even recognized that it was COVID, because the symptoms were so mild. And we're seeing that phenomenon in vast majority. But obviously, in the media, the only thing which comes is the, you know, that is the reporting bias. So, you know, you tend to see people who, you know, with the sort of the horror story, perhaps, or perhaps exaggerated. And then people think, oh, that is the norm. But that certainly is not. So, the key thing is, do not panic.
So what have you been doing with those messages, replying and refuting each and every single one of those?
Problem is that it's getting to hundreds
of
them
much
now.
You just get tired, don't you? MashaAllah, to be honest, you know, as you were speaking, more questions were coming to my mind, but I think we'll leave it there. Inshallah, that does give us another excuse, MashaAllah, to have you on even more regularly whenever you do have the time. Just to finish, I'll let you have the last words, inshallah, on fasting.
Jazakallah khairah. So as you said, so I think fasting, I certainly love all the health benefits. I mean, you're mashallah talking about all the benefits in this dunya and the hereafter. So, but your health benefits, and one of the benefits which has been now published extensively, and I was just looking at latest research in that, is that how fasting boosts immunity. And what we have noticed in this context of current pandemic, it is all about personal immunity. If your immune system is strong, you can fight off the virus. And alhamdulillah, there is a lot of evidence that fasting actually improves immunity. So this is certainly the way to go.
SubhanAllah. Dr. Saab, words of gold there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Jazakallahu khairah for joining us. My dear viewers of Madin Channel, mashallah, that was our respected Dr. Khurram Sahib from London. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him in this world and the akhirah, and also bless his family. Remember, as he mentioned, mashallah, that fasting, it improves your immune system, and which shall be, inshallah, ultimately beneficial for this pandemic. But do not worry, inshallah. Be hopeful, be happy. Yes, take precautions and be trust. Have that trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue to watch Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.